Let's take our Bibles and turn to, let's go to Daniel. Let's go to the book of Daniel. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to WMKT 1270 AM and 102.3 FM. And you are listening to the services of First Baptist Church here in Petoskey. And you can find our website at fbctag.com or find us on Facebook or go to my website, godmyfriend.com. This morning, we want to do something I don't generally do, and that is to focus on the holiday that we have before us. To do that, let me begin by reading to you the Star-Spangled Banner. Oh, say, can you see, by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Well, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between our loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. I think most of us could make our way through the first verse. I don't know that we could make our way through the second verse so easily, hey? Francis Scott Key wrote that he never knew that it was to become our national anthem. He wrote that after going and negotiating with the British, whom we were at war with, in the harbor by Fort McHenry for a prisoner exchange. And at the end of the time, they said, well, we'll keep our word, but it doesn't matter because we're all going to let you all go in the morning because we're going to bombard the fort and it's going to be British property tomorrow. Whereupon Mr. Key, as representative for America, said, you can't do that. There are women and children in the fort. It's not primarily a military installation. The British commander replied, it is their choice. If they take down the flag, saying that they surrender, then we'll go in and take over and it'll be British property. If they leave the flag up, then we will bombard them all night. So they did, bombarded them all night long. At times, no one could hear anything anyone else was saying, no matter how close they were, because of the roar of the cannons. The flag was hit several times, but it was always restored. The prisoners would call up to Mr. Key during a lull in the explosions, is it still up? And he could hear them praying for the flag to fly. When morning dawned, the flag was still up. Key was taken to the shore with those prisoners and released. He went to the fort, and was taken to the flag. And then he understood how it had stood, although it was hit so many times. The pole that it was on was broken because it had been hit several times. In fact, during the night, they replaced it. But because the pole was broken, men had to hold it up themselves, holding up the target that everyone was shooting at until they were hit and wounded or killed, and someone else would take their place. George Washington said that the American Christian is unique and that he would rather die on his feet before he will live on his knees. There is a time when every Christian must draw a line. This is where it stops. This is where I am. I cannot move from this position. Our first line for every Christian should be, has to be, inspiration and the inerrancy that is part of that. The belief that there is nothing in the Bible that is a mistake or that is wrong or that shouldn't be there. That everything in the Bible is from God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all the scripture, all pasgraphe, all that is written is theopneustos, is God breathed or God's breath. That when I read the Bible, it is God speaking directly to me. This book that we can hold in our hands, that we can buy for $10 or even, as I have seen, for $1, the entire Bible at the dollar store, is the direct communication from God to us. Written through men, written with men, but his words nevertheless. And so it does say certain things that I must draw my line at. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 4. Then a herald cried aloud there in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, out on the plain at the graduation service, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we ever worship the golden image that you have set up. Christians today have those same sort of choices, don't we? We are getting more and more of those choices as our nation degrades. We can refuse to have anything to do with it, as these three boys did, and deny that the government has the right to tell us to do these things. Or we can obey any particular rule or law that comes down. We can support the practices that we hate by saying, you know, this is my country and I'll support whatever it does. Or we can allow it while speaking against it. And one thing that we can do is vote and elect better people to represent us in Washington and in Lansing. In America, 50% of all Christians are registered to vote. That means that 50% of us are not registered to vote. That is utterly shocking. Of the 50% of the Christians who are registered to vote, only half of them vote. That means that 75% of all Christians living in America do not ever vote. Is that amazing? How would the elections in our country be different if our Christians voted, for heaven's sakes? If you don't have to stand in front of a machine gun and you don't have to give a public speech, we just need to vote. Because we do not vote, we're beginning to pay the price for it. Now we're going to have to decide where our line is. What law will we not obey? What law will we protest but obey? And what law or politician can I support as I obey? Because Christians have refused to vote and get better leaders into office, Our society's leaders, not the nation, but our society's leaders have deemed it okay to kill babies in the womb. Now, every law has its consequences. What are the consequences of this law? The first consequence of this law is that we Americans think that we are animals. When does a baby receive a soul from God? When he is 3 years old and can talk a little more clearly? Is that when he has a soul? Does he have a soul when he's 1? Does he have a soul when he's 6 months old? When does a baby receive a soul from God? If you think it through, there is no time that a baby can receive a soul from God other than the moment of conception, when he is a two-celled zygote, that smallest of all infants. That is when a baby has a soul. But for all of the millions of Americans who think that abortion is just dandy, we have no soul. So we're not killing people. We're killing tissue. We're killing problems. We're killing, as they say, a disease. Liberals think of people as animals, and so they have no problem with partial birth abortion, which I will not describe, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to find out. It was a liberal who said, "A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy." A rat is the same as a pig, and the pig is the same as a dog. And a rat and a pig and a dog are all exactly the same as a boy. A boy is no different than any animal you might have. And so, if we are animals, then if grandma is too old to contribute, then refuse her health care, which is beginning already. If grandma is too old, or grandpa, then help them die early when they're sick. Euthanasia comes from abortion. The killing of the infant leads to the killing of the elderly. If I don't need you and you're just an animal, I may as well kill you. God has said that every person on earth is precious. This is why Christians cannot support abortion, and why the Crisis Pregnancy Center here in Petoskey or in your area is one of the most important institutions in your area. As people, counselors, take women, young women, and say, "Now, is this a thing inside of you, or is it a baby? Is it a person? Shall we save it, or shall we kill it?" As these heroes fight to preserve the concept that babies are people, we need to continue to support them in all the ways that we can. I will remind you that overall it is not Christians, but liberals, again, who are aborting their children. What's the result of that? We're running out of liberals. So what did they do? What have they decided to do? They decided to open the border to bring in more liberals who will vote them into office as they give them free stuff. Our open borders are caused by abortion. Laws have consequences. As I was watching the New Hampshire primaries, one of the commentators mentioned that the second or third leading cause of death in New Hampshire is heroin overdose. Where is the heroin coming from? Oh, it's coming across the open border with Mexico from El Chapo or one of his buddies who claims to have given us 90% of the heroin in America. Because liberals abort their own children, they've opened the borders to attract more liberals, and drugs flow across America, so that 1,000 miles away, one of the leading causes of death in New Hampshire is heroin, for heaven's sakes. Because our government that we elected has decided that we are only animals, not made in the image of God, there is then no difference between men and women, only gender. God has not designed men for these jobs and women for other jobs. To our elected leaders that we put into office because we Christians don't vote, we are all just animals surviving. And so now we have the ridiculously awful restroom and locker controversy as we're trying to say, in reality, there is no difference between boys and girls, and we will allow male predators free access to our women's restrooms and lockers. We also have introduced romance into the military, for heaven's sakes. Women and men, women serving on the front lines in the trenches with the men, women and women, and men and men. Which is the worst possible thing you can do for a fighting unit. Come here and give me a kiss or I won't promote you. Come here and give me a kiss or I'll put you on the first in the scout and search operation. Whom shall I rescue, my boyfriend or the 5 other people? You cannot have romance of any kind in the military. And I will remind you that the military is one of the major safeguards for our freedom against the government. If our military will not support the government and supports the citizens of the United States, the government cannot take us over. It was in Russia a few years ago where the citizens were rising up against the government after decades. When I remember watching the citizens walking up to the guys sitting in the tanks, and the guys sitting in the tanks refused to use them because they sympathized with the citizens. If we citizens want to be free of the fear of takeover from the government, we better make and other governments, we better make sure that we have a healthy, right military, and we are not going in that direction. And of course, today we're increasingly Christians are being forced to support, not to acknowledge, but to support weddings between homosexuals with their presence and service. It's one thing to say, I'll help you, I'll serve you, I'll be your friend, but no, they don't want that. They want to be approved. Because abortion has proven that we are animals, there is no right and wrong. Last year, an Afghan leader took a young boy from his home to abuse. Mother sought him and was beaten. 2 American soldiers went and beat him, saying, "You never bother that boy and his mother again." What happened to them? They were cashiered out of our army for standing up for the locals. But that little boy is just an animal, so who cares? But the Bible is inspired and is our absolute authority, as I have said, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so there is a difference between animals and men. They're not the same. They are different. Men are created in God's image. We can look at the sky and wonder. We can look up and pray. No animal has ever looked at the sky and wondered. No animal has ever thought about prayer. We are created in his image for fellowship with him. Verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle of all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God has made every human on earth, either a male or a female. They are different. They have different abilities, different perspectives, different roles. They have different gifts and different abilities. We should glory in those differences, not deny them. But, again, the government is doing its best right now to destroy the distinctions that God has made between man and animal, and between man and woman, and between adults and kids. You see now that the adult predators who use children, NAMBLA, that they are starting to make noise about being able to have marriages as well. So like the three boys, there are times when we must say to the government, we will not serve your gods. But we can do this because of what we've been looking at for the last month here in the services, because of the holy city. Jerusalem means the foundation of safety. We know where we're going. Jesus said, whoever believes in me shall never die. Because I live, you shall live also. Peter said, I saw the risen Jesus, and I will not be quiet. James said, I saw the risen Jesus, and I will speak the truth, no matter the cost. This nation needs men and women who will draw a line and say, this far and no further. I may obey this or that, but I will always speak out. And there will be times when we cannot obey, no matter what the cost. We can do this because we are eternally safe in Christ. I have to ask us at the very end now, why do Christians not register and vote? Are they too busy playing with their phone? I wish all phones were destroyed tomorrow. Playing games in their basement? Are they too busy working until one day they find they have no job? Are they too busy fishing or bowling or sailing or going out to eat? Our veterans did not die so that we could fritter away our liberty on nonsense.
That's right. Amen.
Our veterans did not risk their lives so that we could let any government take over and destroy our culture.
Amen.
There is a time to draw a line in the sand and say, no further. We cannot bow down to insane laws. Heavenly Father, walk with us now today and help us to realize that because we are safe, we can stand for you.